Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by VideoBlocks by Storyblocks. Get all the high-quality stock video, audio, and images you can imagine for $149 a year. Go to VideoBlocks.com/Android today. And by Blue Apron, the number one fresh ingredient and recipe delivery service in the country. Check out this week's menu and get $30 off your first delivery with free shipping by going to www.blueapron.com/allaboutandroid. And by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Home plays a big role in your life, and that's why Quicken Loans created Rocket Mortgage. It lets you apply simply and understand the entire mortgage process fully so you can be confident that you're getting the right mortgage for you. Get started at rocketmortgage.com/android. Welcome to All About Android. This is episode number 346, recorded on Tuesday, December 5th, 2017. We're your weekly source for the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Jason Howell.
And I'm Ron Richards.
There we go.
And I am just shamed.
Oh, no.
Oh,
it's okay.
What a fun free show today.
Also known as Florence Ion. Yes. Okay. All right. There we go. You know what? Sometimes we have good days. Sometimes we have not nearly as good, but still good days.
It's true. And at least it's almost the end of the year. So yes. It's almost time for all of us to reset. You know, Mateo, I'm so sorry I'm not there to see you. But as you can see, I'm
trapped in a box.
In a box.
Yes.
Well, at least a festive, wait, other hand. At least a festive holiday themed box.
It's true. I think that's a tree. It's a tree or a plant. I'm not quite sure.
It's a tree. It's okay. A tree. And behind it, I have a tech angle, a LifeX Z light strip, which has a holiday scene. And that's the one it's on right now. So
cool.
It's very festive.
And it's playing havoc with your camera's lighting because it changes.
Oh, no.
And then your skin tone changes, and it's lovely.
You know what? Sometimes you just gotta say, you know what? I planned it that way.
Planned it all.
Yeah, you planned for it. Mateo Doni, as Flo mentioned, you're here in the studio. You're sitting next to me because Flo couldn't come in. And you were like, well, okay, fine. Then I'll fly in.
I needed him to help me
home,
out today.
And I will join you on the set today.
I did, yes. So thanks for having me back.
Thanks, Mateo.
For vacating the seat, Flo.
It's good to have you here, man. It's great to have you in town. We've got a lot of hardware. Usually when you are in town, we have lots of hardware to talk about. But not only did you bring a catalog of hardware devices, I have a little something to show off. Flo, you have something to show off. Ron,
I got stuff to talk about.
You have stuff to talk about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure, a valid contribution.
Exactly. So we're going to be talking about Android 8.1. We talked about it a little last week, but the official release is today for everyone that has a Nexus. Well, anyways, we'll talk about that. Android Go, which is part of that. And then devices. We've got the Honor 7X that was just announced today. The Honor View 10, the Duji Mix 2, the ZTE Axon M, the new X5. So much hardware. I think it's officially a hardware shack sort of day. Banning most lock screen ads thanks to a new rule, bad privacy practice by an app developer, and a whole lot more. Does that sound like a jam-packed episode to you? Because it does to me. Hopefully we can make it out of here on time. Victor.
I
need to write this into
cookie
the template.
Cookie time, East Coast contingent.
Cookie time. Now, hold on. Nope, I don't have one.
Did you not bring any?
No, I didn't bring one tonight.
Wow. All right. Well, good thing you didn't bring any because even though this flavor has been covered, I haven't had an opportunity to participate in the cookie time. So I picked up myself a bag of mystery Oreos.
Ron, why did you do this to yourself?
There you go.
God, being with you, my brother.
I, I was in Target and we were doing some Christmas shopping and they were just there on a display. I'm like, oh, they're Oreos. They're mystery. That's crazy. I'm going to buy it. And then I forgot that you had covered this on October 24th on the episode titled The Morning Zoo, where you gave the mystery Oreo a 3.
Yeah.
And so that said, I haven't opened it yet. I'm going to open it live for you right now. And Jason, while I'm opening this, can you tell us what your memories of the mystery Oreo was? Or?
Well, I don't want to influence your taste decision other okay, than to enough. Say that it was probably the worst Oreo I've ever had.
Well, that's not going to influence me at all. So this Oreo, it looks like a regular Oreo. It just looks like it's a little thicker.
It's a mystery
with the cream.
Run.
And according to this, it's a limited edition and it's a mystery flavor cream spelled C-R-E-M-E. And it's artificially flavored. And if you guess the flavor, you could win up to $50,000, which I'm kind of interested in. So I'm going to try it right now. And I'm going to do it away from the mic so you guys can talk while I bite into it.
Okay.
Uh-huh. I wonder what uh-huh. Ron thinks oh. it tastes like.
Oh, uh-huh. Holy crap.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not.
It's really it's, pungent it's, and strong.
It's not good. I should mention here, I'm pasting this link in right next to the Ready News and the Doc, Victor. So you're definitely going to want to go ahead and open that link. And also, we're probably going to have to jump to some breaking news. I think this is breaking. This is breaking. Sorry, I didn't warn you in the proper order. I apologize. First of all, it's time for breaking news. Thanks to many people in the chat room who pointed out that the mystery has been revealed as of 4 hours ago. We now know.
What? As of 4 hours ago?
The flavor of which you are enjoying right now is indeed Fruity Pebbles.
It was Fruity Pebbles. I can't Ew. Believe this. I can't believe I gotta, this. That's what I thought.
You're going to tell me this is Fruity Pebbles cereal flavored.
$50,000.
And not chalk. Because yeah. it sure as hell tastes like chalk.
That's what Fruity Pebbles taste like.
Yeah.
Fruity chalk.
I'm sorry. I don't know what Fruity Pebbles are, but they look
trust
like...
Trust me, Mateo, you're better off not knowing.
They look they're like Fruit Loop crumbs.
Well, that's a really great way to put it. Fruit Loop crumbs. They're like Fruit Loop shavings.
They yeah. are.
I would like that's to note to that I took one bite into this cookie and I cannot even finish it and I might vomit.
You would?
So,
just spent $5 on that.
So in terms of the wiki on the scorecard, I would like it to be updated to reflect that I give this a 1.
All right. So we'll average that out and it ends up being a 2. Oh. Right?
Oh. I think that's fair. It is okay. repugnant. Repugnant.
It is.
That repugnant. That was awful. This was a horrible mistake.
you should have watched that episode, The Morning Zoo. It was a fun episode. And B, we could have saved you a whole lot of headache and, you know.
We spared you. Yeah. We tried to spare you.
We tried our best.
Good.
I now feel oddly compelled to purchase some and take them back.
Tomorrow. I want to see
I don't
you.
Like. No. Right. Yeah. For people, yes. It's a good revenge gift for Christmas.
Okay,
be like.
For that, but that's kind of a negative kind of approach. Let's not give revenge gifts.
Okay.
Yeah.
Instead of mystery Oreos, Mateo, when you go to the airport, get some See's candies and you'll be fine.
Yeah.
Okay.
Make someone happy instead of make someone want to, clean their mouth.
Oh, that was awful. Awful.
Anyways, I'm sorry that you have to do the rest of the show with that aftertaste, Ron. I know exactly how you feel. It's time for the news.
Here's something that doesn't have as much aftertaste or mystery. It's the next Android version on Android News.
That's true. That's true. Victor, you're getting good. You're getting good, man. The next version. Ron, if you can talk, if you are capable of talking, take it away.
It's really difficult, but I'm going to power through. So Android 8.1 is here. Yay! Congratulations.
Yay!
You did it. So last week we were talking about the preview of 8.1. Well, Android 8.1 officially begins rolling out to Nexus and Pixel devices starting today. Maybe some of you have gotten it so far. I have not on my Pixel, but hey, maybe soon. Features include Neural Networks API, the Pixel Visual Core activation, improved emojis, better autofill. And of course, the source code is posted, so you can go check that out. And this is exciting. Has anyone gotten it on their phones yet? Or
I didn't get the official push, but then I'm on the dev. I'm on the preview, so I don't know if that's why. Probably it is.
I'm the same. I'm on the preview, so we've had the feature.
So we've had it. Yeah, we've had it for a little while. Flo, are you doing the dev preview, or are you on the standard?
I am not doing the dev preview because thus is the nature. I am trying to get this thing to stop changing colors.
It's fine. I like it.
I am not on the dev preview. I've been doing smart home stuff all day, and every time I read about software updates, I start to quiver a little bit in my knees because then it's like everything is going to break and I just don't want to deal with it anymore. What have I become?
Yeah, but you know you're curious about 8.1. All you got to do is go into that settings and tap that button.
Then I think about
Flo is definitely 8.1 curious.
Aren't we all?
8.1 we are. I'm a little 8.1 curious. It's the 21st century. I'm okay with that.
I think anybody that's watching this show that makes a point to watch this show and owns an Android device is probably a little 8.1 curious.
I agree.
True.
Obviously, some of us are further ahead than others on the dev preview.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. We're like seasoned 8.1 professionals. Well,
those are like the seniors in college, right? The people who, you know, they've been around the block a couple of times. They know their way around 8.1.
Some of us don't like to rush into it. Some of us like to save it for when it's after beta because then we know that we're not going to get hurt in the end.
How far can we take this metaphor.com?
I think we took it as far as it's going to go. And Flo,
I'm just saying I'm not going to install anything until it's ready because the last beta that I was on, 8.0, it broke everything in my life. And I don't want to take that on.
Taking
that on.
We understand. You want to save your phone for the right update. We get
Precisely.
It.
Precisely. Precisely. It's very expensive.
I totally understand. Anyways.
Well, that said, so we didn't know about this last week, though, or did we, Flo?
Yeah, there's something else that's kind of tied into 8.1, Flo.
Are we talking about Android Oreo Go?
Uh-huh.
Which rhymes with my name, Flo. Yeah, it was first announced at It was first announced at Google I.O. earlier this year. So remember, we talked about Android Go kind of filling in that niche where Android One was supposed to fill. But it's being released to OEMs along with 8.1. So the version of this OS, it's made for low-end hardware with less than a gig of memory. It's targeted at the quote-unquote next billion users. Of course, that's where a lot of hardware companies are going after these days. All hardware with less than a gig running Oreo will be configured for Android Go by default. So this is the version of Android that you'll see if you go out and buy an Android Go phone. I'm going to be very curious what it's like to live with an Android Go phone. It includes the suite of Go apps, if we remember from the I.O. announcement, like Google Go, Google Maps Go, Gmail Go, YouTube Go. You get the point. You go get the point. All apps use less storage and less data, so they're not as intensive as maybe the regular full version of Android. If they feature stripped down content, and the Play Store will highlight apps optimized for those with lower end devices, like Facebook Lite, Twitter Lite. We've seen these apps sort of pop up. And of course, you don't have to have Android Go to use those. You can use those on any version of Android and save some space.
Totally. Streamline apps, all that kind of stuff. Now, Mateo, you tend to be, I would say, more exposed to phones that might fall into this category. What do you think about kind of what you've heard about Android Go?
I think this is a great thing. Google are obviously addressing a need. They're solving an issue for their users, in this case, the OEMs, the ODMs, who make these very low-powered, low-cost Android devices. Now, Android 8 and previously Android 7 worked quite well on low-powered devices. So you can pick up a $50 Android smartphone on AliExpress in most Asian markets, and it's a perfectly functional, very usable phone. It's nothing like the $50 smartphone from 2-3 years ago. This is actually a really good little device for the price. Google, though, think they can do better. They've released Android Go, and I think this really is something that will enable the next billion people on the planet to have a computer. Not necessarily a smartphone, because it may not be connected to a mobile network, but a small portable device, extremely low power, as low cost as possible and use it on Wi-Fi. So I welcome this. The interesting thing is that Android Go is actually customizable. So your smartphone manufacturers like HomeTom, Duji, all these relatively small OEMs in China will be able to put their own branding on top of it, much the same as the large OEMs do with the normal version of Android.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not entirely uncustomizable. It's unlike Android One, which where Google controls the look and feel and the user experience, but it addresses this need of having Android on the very lowest of entry-level devices.
I'm curious to know what exactly it's canceling out. If this is automatically included in 8.1 and automatically by default runs on a device that that says or broadcasts it has less than a gig of memory. So
I don't think it's done automatically that way. So as an OEM or an ODM, there will be the equivalent of a manifest file or a setting as they're making the build of Android, whether that's from Android open source or as a package from Google. So when they're making the build, they'll tick boxes to say this device has this amount of memory, this is the version of Android that I would like to build for this device.
And but could OEMs choose and say, well, I don't care that my device has less than a gig of memory. I'm still going to do the regular version. And I mean, they still have the ability to do that. They're not like locked in to only using Go.
They're not. And they can choose to go for the full version of Android if they so choose to. Obviously, it's down to them, whether it's from AOSP or they have the Google blessing and they're a Google certified OEM, they will be able to do that. So it's not just the devices in the Googleverse. I'm sure in China this will have create a new generation, a new market segment of Android devices.
Right. Interesting. I'll be curious to hopefully at some point get a chance to play around with a device that has that kind of memory to put in there and see how efficient Android Go is running on that device. It'd be really neat to have two of the same device and compare. How does this device run with Android Go? And then over here we have it without that optimized version. And how do things slow down, or how does that change the experience?
We could just go on eBay and buy two.
I was going to say we could go to AliExpress and look at the HomeTom S16. Now, this was a device I was looking...
But then I have to wait 4 weeks for shipping.
This was a device I was wanting to bring on this episode, but sadly my AliExpress seller couldn't deliver in time.
See?
It's a device with an 18:9 aspect ratio screen. It's about £55, which is about $70.
HomeTom S16?
But having said that, for your $70, you are getting 2 gigabytes of RAM and 16 gigabytes of storage, so this device might not actually need Android Go.
There you go. I put the link in there for you, Victor, underneath the Ars Technica link.
Okay.
All right. So I had not heard of this one.
HomeTom.
Yeah, actually, I did hear about this. When you sent me the email that you were going to be in town like a month ago, you mentioned this, and I put it in as a little note. And then when I saw the note the other day with you coming, I thought that I had misspelled TomTom. And I was like, oh, he's going to talk about it. Like, does TomTom have a phone now? And then, yeah.
Sadly, TomTom isn't the TomTom we knew a few years ago.
No, that's true. Different TomTom. And this is not even TomTom at all. This is HomeTom, not TomTom. just for the record. For the record, different OmToms entirely. Okay. So there we go. All right. So curious to see how that rolls out, and I'm sure at some point we'll be able to kind of bring an Android Go device on. There's little changes to the UI. Ron Amadio at Ars Technica has a little write-up and does some kind of like side-by-side comparisons of what you expect to see in a normal installation of 8.1 Oreo and what you get with Android Go.
And put it on the Jelly phone.
Oh, I wonder. I wonder if the Jelly phone will ever get an update.
Well, it's like an old version. I mean, I guess it's on Nugget.
Yeah, I'll be surprised if and when it gets an update. Not saying it's impossible. Not saying that they don't have the greatest intentions, but we'll see when it happens.
The greatest intentions. creative intention.
It seems like it would be a really great device for Android Go, though. You're absolutely right. That would almost make the most sense for a device like that. We have an email from Jim Young, and this is an interesting little journey here, but it's a little wordy, so I'm going to tear into this really quick. He says, approximately 14 to 15 months ago, I signed up for the Google Fi and purchased a Nexus 5X from them at the same time. I've dutifully paid $5 per month for Fi phone protection since the purchase. Recently, the fingerprint reader on the phone stopped working after 8 to 10 hours of working with customer support, doing two factory wipes, etc. They finally agreed that my phone wasn't working properly. Since I purchased phone protection, see terms below, I figured that they'd just send me another phone, and after the inconvenience of rebuilding the phone software configuration a third time, I'd be as good as new. I was shocked when they told me they would not send me a replacement phone, but would instead give me a credit of $100 towards buying a new Google phone, or a check for $100 to $169. I need a phone. It will cost me $400 to $500 or more to replace the 5X. $100 to $150 won't do it. I've been paying $5 a month because I thought that if my phone had a mechanical breakdown, I would get a replacement phone. I feel like I was ripped off. Do you have any advice? Is this type of treatment standard operating procedure in the phone business? If so, it seems like it would be a good idea to get this out and explain to people that phone protection is at best misleading and at worst fraud. That doesn't sound fun, huh?
That's a bummer. That's a super bummer. That's like it was a great deal years ago, but you signed up right at the end of it with the phone. You know, like it's a windowing kind of problem, right?
It is, so I did a little digging around to kind of like, you know, check into Project Fi terms of service and, you know, what are the rules that surround this sort of insurance program. Insurance, by the way, is offered by a different company. It's not offered by like the replacement of the device. Is it a firm? I believe it's not Google. I think it's a company called Affirm.
Yeah, a lot of carriers do it through a third party.
Right. So in the terms of service for Project Fi, it states that Google decides after telephone diagnosis to either replace your product with a new refurbished or recertified product of like kind and quality. That's what Jim was hoping for. Issue a cash credit equal to the value of the replacement product. This is the Nexus 5X that we're talking about. Or provide a settlement equal to the value of the replacement product. And when you think about the device in question, the Nexus 5X, it's now a couple of years old. Mm-hmm. I would imagine the replacement value for the 5X is probably not very high.
Like 120, yeah. 100 bucks, 120 bucks.
Like 100 to 150 bucks maybe?
Yeah.
Somewhere around there, which kind of lines up. Plus, you have the mandatory deductible that you have to pay in order to trade. So that's the other consideration, is that you'd have to pay $69. You don't get that here, of course, that they're giving you money back, I don't believe, anyways. I don't know. Or would you? Like, that's a question that I have. Do you give a deductible, pay the deductible of $69 to get the cash back reward instead of the device?
$150?
I think so. So in the UK, with your phone insurance, if you have an excess, we call it an excess, not a deductible, you pay that. My phone insurance is £30.
Okay.
But then if they can't fix or replace the device, they will give me the monetary value, which I have to agree to.
That's a nice insurance.
It is. It's part of the services that I get with my bank account. So I get phone insurance. So
if your deductible was $69, you'd pay that, and then they'd say, or we'll give you a check for and after that $69, we'll give you a check for $150, which is the replacement value of your phone. Yes. So really what you're getting is $150 minus $69 that you already put into it, and that difference, which is not very much when it comes to replacing a phone.
Yeah. But if you have a relatively low-value device on the market, is it worth actually making that claim?
I don't know.
It's a difficult one to do.
That's a difficult one. I mean, I guess something is better than nothing, but you're not going to be able to sell the 5X if the fingerprint reader isn't working. Yeah. Or not for as much as you're probably going to get here. Like, I think it's unfortunate. Like, the terms of service do state, and I think probably a lot of people expect that by paying $5 a month for a replacement plan like this, you know, with replacement built into the name of it, that if something happens, you're going to get a replacement device. The 5X is an older device, so I think that ends up being part of the problem here. It's a low value. A firm probably doesn't have any more of these in stock outright replace with another device of similar kind. And so instead, they're offering you what their terms of service also state, which is that they're offering you a cash reward cash payout of what that phone is actually worth, which is not a lot because it's more than a couple of years old at this point. I feel ya. I think Google's doing what their terms of service say, but it's important for people to know this about these replacement plans. It doesn't always work like replace the device outright, and that can be a big bummer, obviously. I don't know. How would you feel, Ron, if this was you?
I would be bummed. I mean, but the thing is that it's hard. I have a hard time arguing the value of the 5X. Like, I wouldn't – I think to have a 5X on this service and to have to sign up for this and to expect to get a Pixel is unrealistic. Mm-hmm. You know, you had insurance for the phone that you had. You didn't have – it wasn't like you're going to pay – if the deal was you're going to be – on Google Project Fi or Google Fi and pay $5 a month to make sure that you've got the best phone you can, that's a different deal.
Yeah.
But instead, you've got phone protection for your phone. And it's just, you know, it is a bummer. I mean, I totally feel for Jim, and I think that sucks. But sometimes you gotta read the fine print. You know, that's the challenge with this stuff.
Well, and insurance, a lot of people would say insurance don't do it for this very reason, right? There's like, in the end, it ends up, you know, not being really worth it. If you bought a brand new Pixel phone and you got insurance and 3 months later something major happened, that was your fault, that was coverable under that extra insurance that you bought, hey, you won the lottery. That actually applies and it ended up being worth it. But if that doesn't happen and you are still paying on a monthly basis and you have it long enough that you end up kind of outside of its like peak demand time, then you end up kind of having spent a lot of money for not very much in return. And that's why insurance, in some ways, it's kind of like gambling.
It is. I will say, in Jim's defense, the 5X is still available to be purchased, but for like $289. Mm-hmm. So maybe they are undervaluing the phone. I mean, I would say, show them. Just go to Google Shopping. I just did a search for Nexus 5X, and it's for sale for $249 from two stores, for $289 from 10 plus stores. Unsurprisingly, it's $175 at AliExpress.com. But the majority of the other spots have it in the $210 to $250 range. So maybe they're undervaluing it. That, go back to them with that. At least maybe you can get enough money from them to buy another 5X. I don't know.
Yes. Or to see if they can source a 5X for you. Often insurance companies, depending on what their repair company is like, may have stock there to replace it, like for like.
Yeah, well, and I'm definitely curious after this and kind of knowing what the 5X sells for in Google Store, how is the actual value of a device determined in a monetary sense? How is that device, you know, how does that come back and say, well, this 5X is actually worth this in a cash payout? We don't have the device to give you, therefore we have to give you cash, and this is what we've determined it's worth. Like, the cash payout always represent the cash that a consumer would pay for it brand new in the store? I don't know if that necessarily works out either, because you've had the phone for however many months, right? So, I mean, does it depreciate over time? I don't know if that kind of applies to this as well.
I think phones do depreciate over time, both for their market value,
right,
also wear and tear.
Right, yeah, wear and tear, okay. Yep.
So if the device was close to 2 years old, or if it was an old device, I don't know if we said how long...
14 to 15 months ago. At that point, the 5X was not brand new, you know what I mean?
No.
But Project Fi, I mean, that was one of the things that Google used to promote Project Fi as a service, was to say, we've got a couple of different pricing tiers of devices that you can get in on, and then you pay this extra money for a replacement. As a consumer, you feel like when you're doing that, you're protecting yourself. And I think what Jim is realizing is it's not quite living up to his expectation. I totally understand. I'd probably find myself upset for the very same reason if I was in his shoes. Uh-huh. At the same time, I kind of understand that Google, you know, spelled this out in their terms of service, and that really sucks, you know, that they don't have the replacement device. Because if they did, you'd probably be a lot happier if they had that replacement device to give you. Instead, they have cash. Lucky you. Merry Christmas. Anyways, I know that probably doesn't make you happy, but Jim did say other people should know about this, so we talked about it. It's a good PSA for everyone to know about these insurance plans. So there you go. Let's take a break and thank the sponsor of this episode of All About Android, and then we'll get into some hardware news. This episode is brought to you by VideoBlocks. by Storyblocks. If you need production elements for whatever you happen to be doing, maybe you need sound effects for podcast production, video background on your website, a hero image for your blog, all sorts of media content are at your fingertips. If your creative needs are compromised due to budgeting constraints, maybe you're just not that creative and you want to find work that other people have done to satisfy your needs, get studio quality stock footage, audio, and images for a fraction of the cost with VideoBlocks. We've used VideoBlocks for our own media pieces here. In fact, we're probably going to be showing one right after this ad read as we lead into the hardware section. So you'll definitely want to check that out. Download all the stock media that your heart desires from their member library. That includes over 150,000 videos, 100,000 audio clips, and 400,000 images. They have After Effects templates, motion backgrounds, and more. All content is royalty free, so you can use it for commercial and personal projects. Everything you download is yours to keep and use forever. That is awesome. New content is added regularly, so there's always something fresh to download. They've got new stuff pouring in every day. Also, you get exclusive discounts on over 5 million additional marketplace clips that are available to purchase directly from artists, the people creating them. Don't risk the quality of a project due to the high cost of acquiring footage. With VideoBlocks, you don't have to use old or outdated footage. No more footage with an ugly watermark either. VideoBlocks footage has been used by over 90,000 customers, including NBC, National Geographic, the History Channel, and the Travel Channel, just to name a few. Go to videoblocks.com/android to get all the stock footage, audio, and images you can imagine for $149 a year. That's videoblocks.com/android to save on millions of studio quality stock media from VideoBlocks. And we thank VideoBlocks by Storyblocks for their support of All About Android. All right, this is not just the hardware section. It's time for the Hardware Shack. It's about perfect.
Mateo, you have your own bumper. That is a special, special thing.
That's a new level of guest.
Yes. I know. Yes. So you mean I'm not just a friend of the show. I have my own bumper.
That's next level stuff right there.
Yeah.
Great. Thank you.
Beyond that is a jib jab of you for when you're not here.
I thank you by wearing my goat's t-shirt.
You never let us down, Mateo.
It's a nice goat shirt.
Thank you.
In the realm of goat shirts, that's a good one.
Thank you.
I've seen a lot. And there we go. All right. So, Mateo, you have the Honor 7X.
I do indeed.
Tell us a little bit about it.
So I've been using this device for a couple of weeks. It's Huawei's brand Honor for the digital natives.
Yep.
It is a new device, which is the upgrade to earlier this year's the Honor 6X, which updates quite a few of the specifications and the industrial design, as well as throwing in a few extra nifty features. So this is the Honor 7X. It has a 2.5D rounded 18:9 aspect ratio screen, so you get a lot of screen in the chassis. It's a 6-inch full HD plus screen, which means it's 1080 pixels in width, and then it's 2160 in length. So it's 18:9 aspect ratio. It has a aluminium unibody. In this case, it's a gold color, champagne gold color. But the one that will be sold in the UK and most other European markets will be the blue one, which is a very nice blue. I got my hands on with that a few weeks ago. That will be the most popular one in most markets. On the back, it has a dual camera. Unlike other Huawei devices with dual cameras, this one doesn't have a monochrome lens. One of them is just for depth perception. And as well as the usual dual SIM slot, which takes two SIM cards, one active 4G, one and one for 2G. It can also be expand its storage with microSD cards. So speaking of storage, it has 64 gigabytes of storage, 4 gigabytes of RAM. It's running Android 7.1 with MUI 5 on top. And on the bottom, not only do we have the Courage port, that's the 3.5 millimeter port, we also have a Nostalgia port, which is a micro USB port.
Nice.
So there you go. If you don't want to go and upgrade all your accessories, your car plugs, your plugs around the house, the Nostalgia port, the micro USB port, is quite useful in that respect. So for those not wanting to make a conscious jump into USB Type-C, this may be a selling point to you. On the front, there's an 8-megapixel selfie camera, and it's a very nice device to use. I've been using it for 2 weeks. A little bit of a caveat, this isn't a final production device. I didn't get any packaging with it, and it's not the final version of the software, which will most likely be shipping with the device. It's on build 110 of Huawei's software. But there you go. The default setting for the launcher is with no app drawer, so it's very fruity phone-like. But if you want to, you can go into the home screen style and change that to have an app drawer. So you can do that. And this is a new feature in MIUI, so you can have a more traditional version of it if this doesn't crash. There we go. So this is the new launcher with an app drawer. It comes pre-installed with a few games and apps, a bit of bloatware, but all this bloatware is uninstallable. So, for example, if you want to take Dragon Mania off your device, you can just drag it up to uninstall. It will uninstall, and you free up the space on the device. So
remember to reinstall that later.
I probably won't.
Okay, good. All right.
But I'd say that the camera is very good in good lighting conditions. It's a 16-megapixel main sensor, which doesn't have optical image stabilization, so it's not the best camera in low light. But what I have found this phone very good for is battery life. So the Kirin 659 chipset is very power efficient, and even playing Pokemon Go in long sessions, the battery life is very, very good. So I can run it for about four to six hours playing constantly.
3340 milliamp hour battery, yes. Underneath.
So 3340 milliamp hour battery. But it's very nice to hold. Very fruity-like.
Kind of has the whole rounded edges thing of, I don't know if that, is that a current model fruity phone characteristic?
That is just a current characteristic of a lot of phones right now. I mean, if we really want to call it back to be HTC. So, but I really like the look of that. I can't wait to get my hands on one. These phones are really good, just like really good budget phones.
Yeah.
Yeah. Much the same as the Honor 8 Pro, also known as the Honor V9 in China. This design is very, very good. I had a demo from Wilkin Lee, the marketing director for Honor in the UK, showing me how resistant it is to drops compared to previous models. So it's built to be dropped, not on the screen, obviously, but the aluminium unibody can take a bit of a beating. We're not recommending you do any drop tests yourself.
Right now? You mean I shouldn't drop it? Okay. I won't drop it right now.
Please don't. I haven't finished the full review for coolsmartphone.com.
Yeah, I don't tarnish your review. It's true. I've been there. I've done that.
But it's a very well-built phone. And for the price, £269 or right. Approximately $300 as an unlocked phone,
that
you get good
bad.
Value.
Yeah.
So
that is not bad.
For our listener who emailed in, he's most with the money back from his insurance. He's most of the way to an unlocked Honor device. Whether that will work on Google Fi, I don't know. Probably
good.
Not.
Good.
I don't even know what it'll work with here in the US. I'm assuming just T-Mobile.
So I'm using it with a 3 UK SIM card roaming here in the US, and it can connect to both T-Mobile and AT&T. But I haven't managed to connect to AT&T 4G. So your 4G options may be limited to just T-Mobile.
But hey, if you're on T-Mobile, it's certainly an option.
It's true.
Right. The 18:9 aspect ratio screens is a great thing. I really enjoy this.
Mm-hmm. We're seeing more of that.
We'll see more of that soon. But this particular panel, nice vibrant colors. I actually prefer this to the Pixel 2 XL screen in terms of its default setting for colors.
The default setting, yeah. I turned on the saturation today. That really helped. Yeah. So, I mean, you've been using this for the last 2 weeks now. This is obviously a pre-production unit. What would you say based on your time with it? Is this one to recommend going into the holidays? That sort of thing.
If you're looking for a device in this price range, yes, definitely. You're getting a lot of very good value. Mm-hmm. The only caveat I'd say is this device doesn't have NFC.
Ah.
So you won't be able to use it for Android Pay. If you have speakers or car setups that have NFC, you might have some challenges there. So that it's something you need to be aware of when making the decision. No NFC may be a deal breaker for some.
Yeah. Yeah.
But for others, on the other hand, it may be a perfectly good device. Nice. And as I said, the battery life on it is excellent.
Awesome. That's the Honor 7X. Ron, there's more Honor news, though.
Yeah, not going to stop there with the Honor. Huawei also announced the Honor View 10, which has an AI processor on board. So Huawei getting serious about artificial intelligence there. This is a 6-inch full HD display with a dual lens camera, 6 GB of RAM, a 13-megapixel front-facing camera. It's got fast charge and a 3D facial animation feature, which is basically Animoji, which is similar to Apple's recent Animoji announcement. Everybody loves that. And according to Honor President George Zhao, and maybe this is getting lost in translation, but this quote says, "We want to be friends with the young people." as justification for the Animoji function.
Let us be friends.
Yes. But if this phone sounds like it's your speed, you can get it after the holidays, January 8th for £449.99 British pounds sterling. So neat little affordable 6-inch phone from Honor with AI processor on board.
Yeah, so this is the same Kirin 970 right. chipset that the Mate 10 and Mate 10 Pro are running.
And they touted the whole AI on the board as well, obviously same chipset. What does that materialize into at this point?
So for some people like myself, this is a great feature because your camera can recognize your cat and optimize for cat pictures. So focus, color setting, saturation, it can do that just by understanding what's in the image viewer and optimize for it. There's a lot more coming. Google need to enable more features for third-party developers.
Right.
Whether Huawei will open up those APIs for their own chipsets is to be seen. Because the Kirin 970 has the NPU, the neural networking processor, on the same chip as the processor and the main radios. It's a system on a chip with the NPU built in.
Cool. Can it recognize goats and then optimize for?
I haven't had any quality times with the Honor View 10 yet, okay. or with the Mate 10 Pro, but I'll let you know once I find out.
All right. Nothing but the hard questions here. We're all about Android.
Mockadile? Probably.
Maybe so. That's a Mockadile case. Thank you, Honor. What about the Doogee Mix? You have the Mix 2.
So this is the Mix 2. Earlier this year, we looked at the Mix 1, the almost bezel-less phone from Doogee.
And it was bezel-less like top and sides, and then it had the big chin.
Yes.
And now it seems like phones are, instead, they're balancing it a little bit. Less bezel on the bottom, but a little more on top.
Yes. Yeah. So they've evened things out on this device. And I think the best way to describe the Doogee Mix 2 is it's a beautiful shiny brick.
Yes.
That's really shiny. Thick. It's relatively heavy. But it has an 18:9 aspect ratio full HD screen. It's running a MediaTek Helio P25 chipset with 6 GB of RAM and 64 GB of storage. Just as with the Honor handset, it has a dual micro SIM or nano SIM tray slot, which can be expanded with micro SD. This one makes the courageous move of not having a Courage port or a Nostalgia port. It's just one USB Type-C port. Hmm. So, interesting move from Doogee, who do includes a dongle in the box.
Okay.
It's nicely finished, mirrored back.
Looks like an LG G4.
Oh.
The same shape?
Yeah, kind of like squared off, but a little bit of arc.
Yes.
Yeah, to like a hint of arc on the top and bottom.
Let's take the screen protector on the back.
Father Robert would not like this part. Father Robert, look away.
Sorry, Padre.
Oh, but look, it's going to be beautiful. Oh, look at that.
Look at that.
Look at that.
For the moment,
like
there are no...
It's like a brand new phone.
Totally. There are no finger marks for the moment. This will change in a second.
In gold, this is beautiful. Oh, dear. Padre has just arrived.
He's staring at us menacingly. He's giving me a dark look. Sorry.
I am conscious of my decision. So there we go. That's right. The Duji Mix 2 cool. With its lovely screen. This is running Android 7.11. It's very lightly skinned, or it's a very lightly changed version of Android from Google's AOSP with a few color points. It's just very pleasant to use, and the battery life on this is even better.
Man, it does feel like a brick, though. And I think, you know, I think at this point I'm so used to kind of the more rounded edges that something like this feels really sharp to me on some of the edges here. There's a little bit of chamfered edges here, but the transition feels sharp on my hands, and it feels a little old school in that regard. You know what I mean?
But for users, I think Duji are aware that this is...
It's already covered
in fingerprints.
Wow, look how quickly that goes.
I mean, yeah, there's just no saving a design like this.
But what Duji have done is also include a lot of features that people will want. So the battery life is excellent.
Yeah.
The camera for this price range is very good. So the dual camera on the back is... just the same as the Honor 7X dual normal sensor and depth sensor one with dual LED flash. The fingerprint scanner is on the back, just under the cameras. But if you turn it around on the front, it has a dual selfie camera.
Oh, yeah.
No flash here, but for the selfie people, you can have that blur effect thanks to...
Are you serious?
Yes.
For the front?
Flo, this is made for the Snapchats, WeChats... Instagram generation.
Would Snapchat even take it? Like, Snapchat can't even take advantage of a dual camera. That's the thing that boggles my mind.
So, it's interesting that these OEMs and ODMs are going ahead and doing the crazy stuff, like dual selfie cameras.
Well, I wonder if Snapchat will be able to take advantage of dual front-facing cameras with the changes that are happening with 8.1. That are allowing, you know, third-party apps, camera apps to tap into the camera API. I imagine that would benefit in just that scenario. Once it's on 8.1, of course, which this is not.
Mateo, how much is this phone? I'm curious because the USB, the whole missing a headphone jack.
Yeah. So this is £150 approximately.
What?
So you're looking at less than $200. Yeah. And the 4,000 milliamp hour battery, I think, is a big selling point. It is a beautiful brick, but the battery life is amazing on it.
It's a beautiful brick.
It's a beautiful brick.
Beautiful, shiny brick.
Yeah, it's very shiny.
But no nostalgia port, sadly.
It's okay. Duji had one job, just a nostalgia port. No, I'm happy. I like USB-C.
Hey, it's got to say, you got to say something about the fact that it's a sub-200 and has USB Type-C. And yet, we see a lot of phones, 300, 400...
Yeah, they're all
still
going
with
that way.
Micro.
They're definitely all going that way. Flo, you have a new device as well. So you and I both have new devices that we haven't really spent much time on.
We do.
On. So we'll do a little first look.
I literally haven't taken it out of the box.
Okay.
So this is a literal unboxing.
Okay, what is it?
This is the ZTE Axon M. Now I did write a hands-on on this for PC World back in October. So I'm going to open it on camera right now. We're just going to take it out and then I'd like to start using it, and I'll have more thoughts, towards the end of the holiday season.
The Axon M, of course, is the device that is foldable, right?
Dual screen. So what we have here is a $725 device. It has two 5.2 LCD 1080p displays, 2.4
15 gigahertz Snapdragon 821 processor, 4 gigs of RAM, 64 gigs of storage, a 20 megapixel rear camera that also works as a front-facing camera. Actually, technically, it's a front-facing camera that you use as a rear camera, as I talked about in my hands-on, because the interface will flip when you flip it. It also has a 3,180 milliamp battery pack with quick charge 3.0. Of course, it still has its headphone jack, as well as USB Type-C. And I'm trying to remember how to turn this on, because I bet you that it is a little bit charged. And I believe, oh yeah, and it's got a fingerprint scanner right here on the side. Yeah. So here it is in person. Here's just me holding it. I'm trying to see if it has enough. Aha, I see you. I see a light shining at me right now.
Now, so one of my, I don't know if it's a complaint yet, but one thing that's kind of unsightly for me when I see this through the digital workings of the internet is that whole back plate area where there's all those like little notches and stuff like that. Is that, I mean, does that bug you in person? I mean, I realize that gets covered up when it becomes a phone, but when it's not.
Oh, I don't know yet, but it is really stark.
Yeah.
Interesting.
My eyes go right to
that. Oh, so I guess that must have the little magnet in there. Yeah. There must be a little magnet in here that ensures that it clips closed.
Got it. I realize it's that way for on purpose. Like there's a reason for it.
This beautiful, upside down. This is so fun.
So when you close that snaps shut? Like, that must be it then. Yeah. Okay.
That was a nice sounding clip.
Oh, yeah. That reminds me of the flip phones.
It's really satisfying in person. It's really satisfying. Flip phones. I will bring this into the studio.
Oh, please do.
We'll try out. I guess it's just way too dead to turn on right now.
Okay.
Because it's red, but it's not turning on. But there you have it. A giant box for the ZTE Axon M. I'm going to charge this puppy up and I am going to set it up. And I'm very curious how it works as, I guess, a smart home controller and a phone. It is very dense, by the way.
Yeah.
This is a very dense phone compared to like the Pixel, which is just way far thin. No. This is, and what's interesting is that on the front, it says TV mode is waiting for you.
What does that mean?
Set up TV mode and launch DirecTV or your favorite video app on your second screen, which is the
screen. Oh, so you can work on the bottom screen or work on one and
yep.
Not
so this
work
is the front
the
screen and this is the back screen.
Okay.
TV mode. I just think It's sounds like interesting advertising right out of the box.
Yeah.
You just call it TV mode.
Well, sorry, Ron.
I know, I was just saying TV mode sounds hysterical given the two screens. Like it's a true second screen.
Right?
Yeah. Well, it is AT&T only, so it makes sense that there
power.
would be deals like DirecTV in there.
Yeah. But TV mode sounded like the beginning of a horror movie.
Someone's going to come through the screen of the phone and
TV mode is waiting for you.
whoa. All right, AT&T.
Yes, you should be afraid. You should be very afraid.
This is actually the power button. This is actually a shortcut button and these are the volume buttons. So anyway, I'm going to set this up and then you'll see how
awesome TV mode is. Excellent stuff. That's the ZTE Axon M first look. We'll check in on that once Flo has had some time to dive into it. We'll also check in on the device that I finally unboxed here. It's the new X5. $199.99, so $200 for this device. And new is a brand that I feel like we've had one or two phones on the show before that we've taken a look at. This is definitely kind of a lower end device, 5.5 inch FHD 1080p display, has a little curved glass around the side. So it actually feels kind of nice on the front side of things. Things feel a little rounded, you know, and I always like that instead of the hard line. 1.5 gigahertz octa-core processor, 3 gigs of RAM, 32 gigs of storage. There's a micro SD card slot inside if you want to use that to expand out. 13 megapixel. There's a single rear-facing camera at f2.0 aperture. It's also a 5 megapixel front-facing camera with an LED flash that you can see right next to it right there. The fingerprint sensor on the back also apparently acts as a selfie shutter. if selfie's really important to you and you want a dedicated selfie shutter button. It's also what you can get that through the fingerprint sensor. A 2950 milliamp hour battery capable of fast charge. USB, which is micro. So this also has the nostalgia port, as they say. It also has, no, wait a minute. Oh, it does. Okay. The current port.
There it is.
Up at the very top. I was like, wait a minute. Did I miss that? And it's running Android 7.0 Nougat underneath. And man, the icons just feel really big. anyways, I'm going to play around with this and check in on this next week, the new X5 lower cost device. And wow, this is a lot of hardware.
This block. A lot of hardware in that shack.
Yeah.
Thank you for the bumper.
Well, hey, don't thank me. Thank Victor. He's the one that came up with that amazing bumper. He did it all for you.
Thank you, Victor.
I got to say, when you've got this much hardware in the shack and you've got nothing but crap Oreos to eat, it really gets – you build up an appetite. So that might be a good time to thank our next sponsor, Blue Apron. We want to thank them for sponsoring this episode of All About Android. Blue Apron is the number one fresh ingredient and recipe delivery service in the country. Their mission is to make incredible home cooking accessible to everyone while supporting a more sustainable food system, setting the highest standards for ingredients, and building a community of home chefs. And I'm a member of that community. I started cooking a Blue Apron like 2 years ago now, and it changed the way I approach the kitchen. I love it because Blue Apron delivers fresh, pre-proportioned ingredients and step-by-step recipes right to your door, which can be cooked in 45 minutes or less. Blue Apron offers 12 new recipes each week, and you can pick 2, 3, or 4 recipes based off what best fits your schedule. Blue Apron sends only non-GMO ingredients and meat with no added hormones. And the Blue Apron menu changes every week based on what's in season. So here's some of the delicious recipes you can expect if you were on Blue Apron right now. You can get sheet pan roasted pork with fall vegetables and creamy maple mustard. Chili butter steaks with lemon, parmesan, broccoli, and potatoes. Oh, man, I'm so hungry now. Creamy tomato pasta with mushrooms and collard greens. Literally, there are so many great recipes in their catalog and their offering that every meal is a winner. I've never had a bad meal thanks to Blue Apron. All the recipes have been great, and they're fun to cook. And I'm a busy guy. I come home from work. I'm tired. It's not too labor intensive. All the stuff is all the ingredients are there. They make it easy for you. The recipes are easy to follow. And best of all, you end up with a delicious dinner to eat. And cooking together builds strong family bonds, so have fun together. Take the recipes you love and add your own family twist to them. Everybody loves a little improvisation. Make your meals to make your family happy. Happy food brings a happy family, and Blue Apron is making lots of happy families around the country. So Blue Apron is treating our listeners to their first dinner. That's a $30 value with $30 off your first delivery and free shipping. Go to blueapron.com/allaboutandroid. And you can check out this week's menu and get $30 off with free shipping at blueapron.com/allaboutandroid. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. And thank you, Blue Apron, for a delicious meal.
Thank you, Blue Apron. Eating good.
Yay.
All right. It's time that we talk about some apps.
It's like an after school special.
Exactly.
Right? It's time we talk.
It's time to sit down. We have to talk about these apps.
All About Android viewer, please have a seat.
Well, it's funny we say that because Google sat down and looked across the table and they decided to change their policy finally in the Google Play Store to prohibit apps that put ads on the lock screen when they have no business being there. This is a serious issue. Apps that aren't lock screen apps are prohibited from placing ads there. Lock screen apps are allowed, though. So if the app is by nature a lock screen app, it is allowed to show an ad there. And Google's been trying to crack down on these intrusive ads for years. AirPush advertising would throw ads into notifications and lately take over lock screens, which is a high incentive for developers who implement. The Fire phones do this, so that makes sense. Some people want it if it's known and disclosed, like the Amazon phones. But when you don't expect it or you're not agreeing to it, that's not bueno. So Google making the tough decisions. I'm glad to see they're protecting the users in this particular case as opposed to the developers and advertising revenue.
Has this ever happened to you guys? Like, I'm trying to think if I've ever had a sudden random ad take over my lock
several
screen.
Several years ago, ES File Explorer was the culprit with the lock screen ads that I didn't ask for that just installed somehow when I installed it from the Play Store. So that's cool. So that happened and it was infuriating.
That would be infuriating. Infuriating. There we go. That's the better
word.
There's
a reason I pay the extra $30 to get the ads off. Come on.
What do you think? Well, I mean, I guess there's not much to think here. It's like good. Good on you, Google.
I think this is good. But I think that potentially this may be a warning shot to Amazon and others who are doing that already on Android. So Google are trying to stop that from happening. Though it would be interesting to see how Amazon deal with it in their own underground or Amazon App Store, which is quite popular in certain markets, to see if they're going to do the same and block the same apps or if they're going to carry on allowing them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and, you know, important to kind of reiterate on this, the rule is not that ads on the lock screen are 100% not allowed. It's just that they aren't allowed on apps that have no business putting it there. So if it's not an, if it's an app that's a lock screen app and part of the, because I mean, I think we've brought into the arena ads, apps that are lock screen apps that pull ads in, and maybe you get an incentive as a user, like I allow you to, you know, put ads on my lock screen and in return I get this or whatever. But if it's like you say, Flo, if it's like a File Explorer app and then suddenly ads are appearing on your lock screen, like that, there's just no reason for that to happen. And yeah, happy that they're clamping down on that. Some people might want ads on their lock screen if the app makes sense.
It's all about that question is if the app makes sense and if it's disclosed, if it's made known in the Play Store listing or in the onboarding aspect or whatever. But when it's like when it's an app is putting ads in the lock screen and it's not a lock screen app, you know, you got to figure out what app is doing it. Like it becomes a malware kind of issue there because it's not what you intended when you installed that app. I think this is a good move.
Yeah, absolutely. This was kind of bubbling up, I think, earlier today, and yet another data leak into the millions, this time thanks to the storage of sensitive user data by the makers of an app called AI.type. It's a keyboard app. Apparently, the app's server that stored all of this information wasn't password protected. 577 gigs of data on 31 million Android users. iOS users were spared, so this is just an Android thing. At the very minimum, full name, email addresses, precise location of users, how long the app was installed. Other records, though, were found to include IMEI number, IMSI, device make model, screen resolution, IP address, specific information from Google profile like date of birth, gender, phone number, Android version, so not good. Their site had claimed user privacy is, quote, our main concern, and that text entered into the keyboard was, quote, encrypted and private. I'm thinking if that is true, it may have been encrypted in transit, but obviously not encrypted in storage. Otherwise, this wouldn't have happened.
You can take the reservation. You need to hold the reservation.
Yeah.
You can encrypt the data. You need to keep the data encrypted. That's tricky.
Good,
I know.
Yeah, it's a good start. It's a great start to encrypt it in transit. But
the only benefit to these data breaches that I'm seeing is that there's so much data out in the world that at what point does it all become valueless because there's just so much. You know,
right? I mean, overwhelmed.
That was a joke. I'm not encouraging data breaches or people's data being leaked out. I'm just saying, when you said, "Look, with millions and millions of stuff out there, at what point is the value of it? Like, it's how can you sort through all that data?"
I mean, honestly, Ron, it may have been a joke, but there is some truth to that. Absolutely, the amount of these stories and these data leaks happening on such a regular basis. I mean, at a certain point, that data has to not be very valuable, right? Because everybody has it. Or maybe I'm just thinking of it wrong because I'm not, you know, a hacker or, you know, going specifically for this information for some, you know, reason that I can make money from. I don't know. Yeah.
So anyways, there you go. I did look into our arena list to see if we had ever brought this in, and I didn't find it in there unless it was like named one thing and then renamed to AI dot type.
I didn't recognize this one, so yeah, I don't think we did.
So I don't think it was ever in there.
But I'm surprised that they had 31 million users. It just shows how big their reach is.
Right. Plus, I know. I was surprised about that too. Like that's a big number. It's a big number. Turns out you can make a lot of money in the app stores.
You can make a lot of money in the app store. It turns out you can also make a lot of money if you're NVIDIA and you make the Shield TV and you've been keeping people happy for years with content. You know, the Shield TV is over 2 years old at this point, and yet all these delightful things still end up coming to it. So this delightful little thing is that Nintendo is bringing Nintendo Wii games to the NVIDIA Shield TV. That is super exciting.
What?
I am not excited because I don't have a Shield TV, so I don't get to do any of this. I do have a Nintendo Switch, though, so if Nintendo would like to send some my way, I'd appreciate it. But for those of you with the NVIDIA Shield TV, of course, you can revel in the fact that you will be able to play Super Mario Brothers Wii, Super Mario Galaxy, Legend of Zelda, Twilight Princess, Punch-Out!, and Metroid Prime in 1080p resolution. These titles will also be released in China.
Will only be released in China.
Oh, sorry. These titles will only be released in China. So I just got a bunch of people excited for no reason.
Well, I mean, it might not be no reason. I mean,
there may be forums or places you can find out how to get these out of China.
My question about this is less about Android, but more about, I don't recall ever seeing Nintendo games on any devices other than Nintendo devices anywhere.
That's
it's a big deal, right?
Yeah. But no matter what country or whatever it is. Yeah.
It's kind of interesting, isn't it?
It's very interesting, but it also fills in the gap that Nintendo missed out on. At the time of the height of the Wii's distribution globally, they weren't games consoles just weren't allowed in China. You couldn't buy one there. Mm. So Nintendo missed out on the monetization of this whole generation of video games in the Chinese market, which is significant just because of the sheer numbers of users. So they have content there. It's not making as much money as it used to. They may as well get some extra revenue from it by distributing it through NVIDIA on the Shield devices.
And that's a new type of thinking coming from Nintendo, because they have been historically against the idea of ever giving and letting anyone have their content. Now they're coming around to it, and obviously they've been dipping their toes in smartphone and mobile. But I don't know if I ever envisioned Nintendo saying, here's some of our old console games for your console. Like,
this
that's
is a
just,
test. That's this has to be a test for something that's coming out later. I mean, I know this is not all about Nintendo, but I think it's fair to talk about, because first of all, the NVIDIA Shield TV, like, I am just still surprised at what a success it is. Like, just people continue to praise it to this day, and we are almost done with 2017, and this came out in May 2015. So there's that fact. The second fact is, it's just interesting to see, after Nintendo put out all these mobile games this year, a couple of them which are on Android, now to see this like test market and in China. I mean, imagine, like, this could be our future, is just fully reveling in all this nostalgia on these devices that are not Nintendo specific. And that kind of excites me. I'll pay for it.
Yeah. I think this is a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's another Japanese video game maker, Sega, have been doing this for quite a few years. So it's obviously something that brings value to users, but also brings an extra revenue stream to the creators of the content.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My friend made a really funny comment the other day, because we were playing the SNES Classic, and he was like, do you know how many times I've paid for these games? Because you just keep redistributing it in a way, and you just keep paying because you're like, well, I'm an adult now. I have expendable income, so I might as well just, you know.
Yeah, here it is again on the thing I own now.
Sold.
Yeah, that's the price of nostalgia right there. And we're willing to pay for it because nostalgia.
Just like micro USB.
Yes. That's one thing I'm not super happy to have to pay for. But that's a different type of nostalgia altogether.
I'm not there yet. Maybe give it 15 years.
Yeah, right. Then we can look back longingly on why that was actually a good thing. We don't know why it was a good thing yet. We don't have the history to prove. Anyways, we have an email, Ron.
Yes, we got an email. David wrote in response to my little quickie review of the Motorola Echo. Well, it's not an Echo. Amazon A-Word speaker. That works with the Moto Z2 Force. And David says, I have a problem with the Motorola speaker add-on review. The whole review was talking about the Amazon Assistant. So sure, it's a good idea to talk about it, but first and foremost, it's a speaker. Why was there absolutely no comments on what it actually sounded like? And David, that's a very valid question. And I think I might have leaned into the Amazon Echo-like functionality because that was the kind of unique aspect to it. It sounded like a speaker. It worked. It wasn't horrible. It wasn't great. It wasn't like – I feel like if you want a speaker for the Moto Z2 Force Moto Mods, I would say get the JBL one because that one had a little more presence, a little better sound quality because it's a JBL speaker and all it does is a speaker. But the thing about that speaker – but the thing about the Amazon I can't say it, A-word, was that it's a speaker with the Amazon functionality in there. So that's kind of like you're getting double whammy for your money. And so that's kind of what we focused on there. The speaker sounded fine. Again, I didn't think it sounded – it wasn't horribly tinny. I think it was actually, to be honest, if I had to compare this speaker to the Google Home Mini speaker, I would say this speaker sounded a lot better. So that gives you a little frame of reference there.
Okay.
But yeah, so I valid complaint there, David. But I went with the fact that we all know what a speaker does.
Well, and I mean, looking at it, you see, it's not like a very deep, there's not a whole lot of depth to the speaker. So, you know, you're probably not going to get a good low end, frequency response to it, which is kind of the similar case with the Google Home Mini.
Yeah, exactly. And I guess I kind of took that for granted that everybody was kind of on that same page. I mean, like as someone who has spent thousands of dollars on home theater speakers and things like that, I get spoiled real quickly and anything smaller than it. Like I was blown away at the Google Home because the audio quality was better than I thought it would be because it has those five speakers and does all that kind of stuff. I kind of disregard anything in a sub $200 speaker because there's only so much you could do at that price point. Right. And so like you accept a certain level of tinniness and a certain level of non-presence and a certain level of lack of dynamic range. And I guess the real, you know, for that price point in the $100 to $200 range, the question is like if you're really worried about audio and you want a Snap-on speaker for that, again, I would say get the JBL speaker because that had a lot more presence. But if you want a speaker with the Amazon Assistant, then this is the one you want to get. So there you go.
There you go. All right. Hope that helps, David. Now go buy one, David, and let us know what you think.
Yeah.
We'd love to hear. All right. Let's thank the sponsor, and then we'll jump into the arena. Before we get to the arena, let's thank Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. They're the sponsor of this episode of All About Android. If you've ever gone through the mortgage process, you already know. I don't have to remind you that things are a little dated when it comes to doing the whole mortgage process. There's lots of pulling information from many different points. It needs a client-focused technological revolution. We live so much of our lives in the digital age on the internet. Things are being revitalized and revolutionized all the time. It makes sense that this would happen with the mortgage process, and that's why Quicken Loans created Rocket Mortgage. Rocket Mortgage gives you the confidence that you need when it comes to buying a home, or even if you happen to be refinancing your existing home loan. It's simple. It allows you to fully understand all of the details and be confident that you're getting the right mortgage for you. It's also convenient. Their trusted partners allow you to share your financial information with Rocket Mortgage at the touch of a button. And it's powerful. Whether you happen to be looking to buy your first home, your very first home, or your seasoned professional now, your 10th home, let's say, Rocket Mortgage is able to perform thousands of calculations in seconds to let you know everything you need to know. It's based on your income, your assets, your credit. Rocket Mortgage can analyze all of the home loan options for which you qualify and then find the one that's just right for you. It's all about those options. Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. To get started, go to rocketmortgage.com/android. That's rocketmortgage.com/android. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states, NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. And we thank Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans for their support of All About Android. And now it's time for one of the last arenas of the year.
So many enter, but only one lives. Android Arena.
I guess in reality, every arena from the year is one of the last arenas of the year.
Technically, except for that first one. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. All right. So last week's poll was twit.to/AAApoll 345 for episode 345. It was between StoryCorps, Retro Browser, and Unroll.me. And Retro Browser is the big winner, 41% of the votes. StoryCorps, so congratulations, Ron. StoryCorps just beat out Unroll.me at 30% compared to Unroll's 29%. I'm sorry, wow. Flo. I'm sorry.
Wow. So it just shows how dynamic the standings are. All right.
I know.
So,
yeah.
Mateo, I hate to break the news. I don't know if you saw last week's episode, but unfortunately, the guests have been eliminated. They cannot win. So you're playing with house money. You're just spoiler at this point.
That's very sad. I'm saddened on behalf of Team GG&G.
Yeah. So, but that said, so the standings through 48 weeks of the arena, the guests are in last with 112 points. Jason is in third with 119 points. I am in second with 130 points. And Flo is sitting in first with 132 points. Still in first place, close. But I'm not far behind. It's going to be close. These last three shows of the year are going to be crucial for these standings. Let me tell you,
it's a nail biter the way to the end.
To the bitter end. You can say it's the bitter end.
I'm doing a lot of research. I'm doing a lot of work behind the scenes. Yep.
I mean, I've got to be close.
Market research. I'm doing, you know.
I know. It's like a part-time job for you, Flo, finding an app for this week's arena.
It actually has been a little bit. I've been trying to test things to make sure things work thoroughly.
So what's great about this, though, is that neither Flo or I are a lock, right? The guests might be mathematically eliminated, but they can spoil big time. Jason, you're not out of it. According to Wake County, if you win the next three remaining arenas, you're still in it, my friend. So you can do it.
Gotta psych myself up. I could do this.
I could come in with a bunch of stinker apps. Flo could come in with apps that sell your data. Oh, wait, that already happened.
Oh, that's harsh. Boom.
Just saying, anything can happen, folks. Anything can happen.
Oh, man, that's harsh, but it's true. It's okay. It's okay, Flo. You can show us how it's done. Because Flo, you are up first, and I have your app installed.
I am up first, and so I, of course, brought Animal Crossing Pocket Camp to the arena. It's, you know, listen, I know it got second place, but I have just been really loving it. It's really enhanced my life.
And I thought you were bringing it again. I was like, wait a minute. No, it doesn't work like that. I apologize.
No. But what I have been doing is, because me and a lot of my buddies, like online buddies, play it together. When I see them in a camp, I like to make like a little movie of us. So I downloaded this app, which I actually like. I just wanted a really simple screen recorder. So I downloaded Screen Recorder, free, no ads.
No, really tells you everything you need to know, doesn't it?
And it's, you know, 4.2 stars. It's got up to a million installs, or it's over 500,000 installs, actually, it says. And I downloaded it and I used it, and it's super simple and straightforward. I like it because it kind of functions like the screen recording. Sorry, I was watching what Jason was doing on the camera. Okay, there we go. So now he's recording. And so you're making a screen recording right now, and it shows up in your notification shade. So it works a little bit like the Samsung version of the game launcher, in that it pops up the little overlay to help you start your recording. And then when you want to stop, you just go into the notification shade and you stop it. And then it takes you to the video, which you can then trim as you need.
and save. And then from there, if you want, you could take it like to an external app and make it into a GIF, for instance, which is what I've kind of been doing. But so Screen Record, it's super easy to use. It lets you take screenshots as you need. It lets you save videos to an SD card or any other location that you want. I've been saving mine to my downloads folder so I don't have to like go searching for it. It lets you record the screen. And if you want to record your reactions, it even does, it even supports face cam while you're recording.
Really? How do I do that?
Yeah. So go to the settings and there should be a setting in there for you to turn on, if you can find it, if I can find it, as I'm trying to find it and vamp so that we can find
it. Record audio. Show touches, that's a good one to have. You probably want to have that on there. That's a good one to have,
yes. Show touches is in there.
Yeah, you actually turn that on in the developer settings. I'm going to not do that, though, for now. Stop options.
You can select the bitrate. You can select the quality of the sound. You can select whether it records audio. It'll use the microphone, so you will have gameplay. And then there's the camera setting, which is all the way at the bottom under overlay settings. And you can turn on to show the camera and whether you want it locked or whether you want to be able to move it around, and then select which camera to use. So, you know, maybe you want to show the rear camera so you can show people's reactions of you playing a game. There you go.
I will go ahead and move it right to the center where I should be.
There you go.
Hello, everybody. It'll
show Jason's reactions as he's making a screen recording of his interface.
Okay. Excellent.
Everything okay?
I'm just having a great time.
So a realistic use case for this app is recording Jason's reactions to satisfying his Android 8.1 curiosity, seeing if there's an update available.
Yes, every time I go to my settings to check and see if 8.1 is available, I'm going to record the process with my front-facing video so that you can see what I look like when I have an update and consequently what I look like when I don't, which is most of the time. So this is Screen Recorder, free, no ads.
Free, no ads. Screen Recorder, free, no ads. You do have to enable a couple permissions. If you're running over 6.0, you'll have to allow the overlay permission. But it's available in a couple languages. Got a magic button. It's easy to use. Over 500,000 installs. Pretty good ratings. So
right on.
I'm down with it. And a very easy to use interface, which is what I like. I like easiness because life is hard enough.
Yeah, I like that. I like it a lot. I've been using AZ Recorder, but I don't know if that I've ever seen the front-facing camera in that app. That's a good bonus. It might be in there, and I just didn't notice. But I really like the layout of the settings and everything. It's very straightforward on this app. So Screen Recorder is the app. Excellent. And let's see here. I am up next. So I will show you. You go ahead and take my shot here, Victor. I will show you how you can get this.
Ooh.
This
is that Mockadile?
Is Mockadile.
Wow.
This is a Mockadile case, and you're all jealous, I know. My good friend of the show, Matteo Doni, gave me this Mockadile case. I am forever indebted to Matteo. And it turns out that you too can get this this Mockadile case for your Pixel 2 XL on my app called AliExpress Shopping. It's a place that you can go to buy things that take a long time to be shipped to you. But if you go into my favorite, there it is. You too can have your own Mockadile case for only $3.39 US. Minus 15% mobile only deal. So you're getting a deal here. One order. I can only imagine that was you, Matteo.
Most likely.
I knew it. And wait a minute. The feedback is by an M star. Is that you too?
It could be.
Okay. All right.
Only feedback on that one purchase.
Is that a Scottish flag?
It should be a Union Jack.
It is a Union Jack.
So that's you. Yes,
that's me. Okay, well, somehow in the vast marketplace of AliExpress shopping, we have found Mateo. There you go. Anyways, the app itself is actually really great. I have not used AliExpress very much. I've done a lot of window shopping with AliExpress, and I think I'm finally at the point where I'm going to start pulling the trigger on a few things. Anytime I ever, well, I know that you're the professional, and I kind of figured bringing this in, Flo, you might see it in the app list and be like, oh, man, he did it and I didn't. So I apologize if I took this.
That's okay. You. But it is a great app, especially to go through when you can't fall asleep at night because of your insomnia caused by your existential dread. So what you do is you just scroll through AliExpress and look for things that you might never buy. But then, of course, inevitably at the very end of it, you will end up buying a couple of really cute little kawaii pens, which I currently use on the daily. Also, AliExpress is great for clothes shopping if you don't mind looking at pictures of Russian people trying things on.
Oh,
because
okay.
that is mostly, at least for the ladies, that's mostly who's posting the pictures. But it is very helpful to see. And I've actually made some very nice clothing purchases from AliExpress.
You can get storage container. Let's just put it this way. AliExpress is like the shop where you can get pretty much anything.
Oh, yes. Yeah. And you can buy everything. You can buy hair if you want to buy hair to like for a weave. No, I'm serious.
Like real hair?
Yeah, you can buy real human hair.
Yep.
You can buy lashes.
AliExpress is going dark.
I think the best way to describe AliExpress is it's eBay plus Amazon plus I'd say Etsy, all rolled into one and multiplied by 10.
With a little bit of China thrown in.
Yes.
Yeah, if you just want to start a small business selling sticky notes, you can buy them in bulk and then...
you just have to be okay with the fact that it's going to take a really long time for things to ship to you. Like, if you're looking at AliExpress and going, wow, that stuff is really inexpensive. This is great for my holiday shopping.
You're not doing holiday shopping right now.
You've already missed the boat at this point.
Should have done it in September.
You're still in time for the Lunar New Year.
That's true. And we all shop heavily for the Lunar New Year. So this is a really good point, Mateo. Branded devices are in here. So if you want to buy yourself a Xiaomi.
True. All of the Android phones, that majority of them that Mateo brings on our All About Android are available through AliExpress.
What is that?
If you want to save some money and get a phone that may or may not work on your network if you're living in the United States.
Yeah. Do your homework beforehand.
Do your homework.
Anyways, AliExpress, it's a very interesting marketplace. You've definitely heard Flo talk about this a number of times on the show.
Definitely seen Flo wear clothes that she's bought off of AliExpress on the show.
If you've ever seen Flo wearing an interesting pair of glasses that are not prescription, she probably got them from AliExpress.
I definitely did. And I got a couple more.
And the app is really well designed. You know, it follows a lot of nice Android conventions with a floating action button.
They have games that you can play for coupons.
Oh, that's interesting.
In the app. So, like
you need to be logged in for that. But yes, they use a lot of material design in the actual design of the app. They update it every 2 weeks. So they're constantly improving and iterating upon it.
There you go.
Look at that breathable hair.
There's some hair for you. So if you too want to buy this hair, just go find AliExpress shopping in the Play Store. It's a free app. It's well designed and it's a crazy marketplace.
Just
and,
read the reviews, whatever you do. If there are zero reviews and nobody's bought anything, don't buy it unless you're Mateo.
Yes.
If you see my reviews, trust it as good judgment.
Yes. You'll see Mateo all over this app. That's AliExpress shopping. I'm happy I checked it out because it's a lot of fun. It's a good time waster too, and I'm sure I'm going to buy something eventually. All right, Mateo, you are up next. What you got?
So I have also a Pixel 2 XL with a wonderful Mockadile case.
Very good.
So today's app is a very new one. It's just out. It's actually not fully released yet. It's called Shudi. And it's available for free in the Google Play Store. Now, this is an interesting app. It's an idea of crowdsourcing decisions. So you decide, say you're shopping on AliExpress, you can take a screenshot, or you're out in the shops, you see something on a shelf, you think, should I really get that? And you're not sure. You can post it to the Shoody app and find out if someone should or shouldn't. So if you, it follows the same sort of convention apps like Tinder do. So if you think you shouldn't, in this case, you swipe left. If you think you should, you swipe right, or you tap the tick or the cross. So I'm doing this as a new user. Let's choose a username, and I will call myself.
I'm guessing it's should I.
Should I or should he? We will ask the developers. Full disclosure, they are friends of mine. They're my colleagues. This is their experience of developing an app from scratch. So here's a picture of...
Groats.
That's porridge.
Not goats.
This is not goats. I know this because this is obviously a colleague of mine. Groats is our porridge provider in the Edinburgh office. On Tuesdays and Thursdays, we get free porridge. This looks like it's the caramel and hazelnut porridge. And I would say this is definitely a yes. I would recommend this porridge. So I'll tick the green button.
Good.
Or swipe right. You should. This looks like
it's,
a print.
It's probably
of a,
cold by now, but or is porridge normally cold?
So let's see. It's around about 4 or 5 in the morning. It hasn't been cooked yet.
Okay. All right.
But on it's actually on Thursday. Yes, I would say go ahead, do it. So this may be a bit of a delayed decision.
Yeah.
This looks like a picture of a lady cat wearing a crown.
Should I?
Oh, I'm tempted.
Should I? This picture.
Ron like Fo, help me out here. Should we or shouldn't we?
We should.
I agree.
We should.
I'm going to say yes. I'm going to say do it.
Okay, then. I'm assuming it's purchasing the print.
Okay. Well, we don't have to purchase it, so yes, okay. Do it.
So this looks like a lovely bottle of Cava, Spanish white sparkling
do
wine.
Do it, yes, absolutely.
This is
definitely why are you asking?
A yes.
Why are you asking? Go.
It has to be chilled, but yes. This is a nice handbag with a tasseled purple horse.
No.
No?
I trust Flo on this decision. No.
Ron, what do you think of this? No.
I'm going to say no.
We can swipe left on this. And I'm not sure if this is the person or the glasses or the scarf.
Or the scarf. Yeah, I'm thinking probably the scarf, I'm guessing.
No.
Contextually, I would say it looks like the person is in the store. I'll say no. Sorry, Chris. This is my colleague, Chris Fair.
There we go. Chris has been in the store for a few hours now waiting for this demo.
Absolutely. Yes.
So Flo is saying yes to these very shiny shoes.
Oh my God, yes. I want them.
I say no.
You say no? Jason?
Do I have to be the tiebreaker? Sure. I trust Flo. When it comes to women's shoes, I trust Flo.
Thank you.
I trust
I'm just saying no to everything. No.
So this is a very specific one. Air Jordan 12 Low, Wolf Grey.
Okay.
So wait a minute. Is this someone's request? This is someone's request, right?
Yes.
For help.
For help. Is should they or shouldn't they? And you can also set a timing in that. So let's do an example.
That makes sense, because maybe you need your decision in 15 minutes.
It's
true. You're not going to stay at the store all day.
So we'll demo this app by saying, we have a beautiful brick here, a Doogee Mix 2.
Ooh, good idea.
Take a picture of that.
Yay or nay?
It's a bit blurry, but that should do.
Okay.
So how long would we want this to be shared for decisions? Let's say 12 hours. Or if it's being ordered by AliExpress or Horizon is quite far out, let's turn it into a 36-hour decision. And it's now updating and uploading that so other users will be able to do that. And you'll be able to see the results as it's uploaded. So it's not just for you helping others to make decisions. You can also ask for help to see, should you or shouldn't you?
Now, can you, and maybe you haven't tried this yet, can you take like a screenshot on your device? So you're looking at, I don't know, AliExpress shopping, and it happens to be on, I don't know, the page that has the Mockadile case. You're like, man, do I need to spend the $4 on this? Can you take a screenshot and then share that into this app? And
I
then that'll...
believe you can, yes.
Or... surprise
so can I that. Take a picture of someone and be like, should I kiss them, yes or no?
Ooh,
hey.
Ooh.
That's
a, well, I'm just like, you're on a date. You want some help, you know?
If you're on a date and you're asking the internet that's that question.
That sounds like a very risky thing to do, Flo. You may end up in the headlines if you do that. It's possible. It's not advisable.
Watch me. Just kidding.
But there we go. So that's Shudi. Nice. It's very, very early days. So this, for example, is a screenshot of a pair of trainers in an online store.
Yep.
We'll say no to these. It's nice Vespa. Yes. MacBook Air 11-inch.
Or this font. I don't know what they're asking
for. Yeah,
exactly.
That's a difficult one. I'll just say no. Those are very flowery shoes. I'll say yes.
Of course.
So there you go. Great job. All decisions have been made.
Oh, good. That's it. It's so easy.
All the decisions on the internet have been made.
That's good. So that's Shudi. It's a great little app. It's not been fully released yet, though it is available in the Google Play Store.
Yeah, it says unreleased
and
when you go to the...
Please do get in touch with myself, and I'll be able to help you get in touch with the developers if you want to provide any feedback. Nice. It's a fun little app to help crowdsource your decisions.
Nice.
I wonder what decisions you can help me with, Mateo.
I don't know, Flo. Mocodile?
I've already made that decision.
I'm notoriously good at decisions, as you can see from my Mocodile and goats expertise.
All right. Excellent. So Shudi, I'm not really quite sure. Shoodi. Do a search for that. You'll find it. And I'm sure there's a building community. So be part and the community gets bigger. Ron, I have your app installed. What is it?
Yes. Yeah, so we might actually need something to use it with if we want to show it off. But we've seen these kind of apps over the years before. My app is called What the Font. And it is an app that detects and identifies fonts in things that you take pictures of. The reason why this is better or different than previous ones is because What the Font is also a website at whatthefont.com. And it is the place to go when you need to identify what a font is. I've been using What the Font for years to upload a JPEG and say, what is that font? And show this something before, things like that. And then now that they've extended their service to an app, it's great because when you're out in the world and if you see a sign on a billboard or on the subway or whatever, you can take a picture of it and identify what font has been used. And it's really, really simple. Jason, if you want to open up the app, we can show it. It literally, when you open it, it is just a camera. And you have the option to either take a picture or you can upload an image that you've already taken a picture of.
I took a picture of Arial font example on the screen.
Arial, the most dynamic font of all fonts.
Exactly.
There it is. So great. So, and if you then you can crop the area that you want to identify. What is that font? Right. Pretty easy. Okay. There it is. And then you hit the button. And it will show you that, right? There you go.
Draw a
and then
crop box
you
got to
tap on a crop. Yeah, there you go. Hit the crop button.
Use finger to select the text you want to identify.
You were cropping in the image before, so
yeah. Why did it
tap on? That's weird. When I did it, it does it automatically.
Draw a crop box first.
Yeah. Okay, now draw one. That's weird. Don't go back and
hold on. Hold on.
There you go.
I got it.
There you go. Okay, cool.
Okay, we'll go ahead and do that.
Perfect.
Go. Getting font results.
So now it queries the What the Font website, and it will tell you, it will interpret what the fonts they think they might be. Now, the interesting thing, though, is that there are subtleties depending on the angle of the photo you take or things like that. Sometimes the way it interprets it, it's doing the character recognition. I did a bunch of tests this morning, and see, there it is. It picked up Arial. There it is.
Arial Pro, excuse me.
Greek regular. So so if you're a font nerd like I am, if you want to identify fonts using the best service on the web that has proven themselves over years, What the Font is the best. So it's a free app. It's a handy thing to have. It's like Shazam for fonts. Finally, from the people who have been doing it for years and pretty much have every font in their library, and they never have steered me wrong. So What the Font? There you go.
Nice.
Yeah.
Awesome stuff. And I was frantically trying to pull up Wingdings, but I didn't quite get there.
It probably would have detected Wingdings.
It'd be like, Wingdings. Are you serious? You're using this app for Wingdings. You should know this by now.
Yeah.
Is probably what they would say. What the Font.
And that is free as well. All right. It's time to place your vote for your favorite app of this week. Is it Screen Recorder, Free No Ads, AliExpress Shopping, Shudi or Should I, or What the Font? Go to twit.to/AAApoll346. twit.to/AAApoll346. And place your vote. We'll check in on it next week. The all-important Victor vote is being placed right now. Apparently, Victor is a fan of fonts.
Victor loves fonts.
It. Victor's a font fan.
Yeah, I could have used that a few days ago.
Oh, that's true.
It's a very handy. It's a very handy tool. It is.
I've so been there. Yep. Absolutely. Yeah. Awesome. twit.to/AAApoll346, and we'll check in on it. And that, as they say, and I will say right now, is that. Matteo Doni, thank you so much for coming on once again, letting us know when you're in the area and dropping in with the Hardware Shack. We really appreciate it.
Well, thank you for having me. And again, Victor, thank you for the hardware bumper.
Yeah, you've seen that bumper before.
I have, right? Yes. Last time I was in studio, we had it for the first time.
I enjoy rediscovering it every single time and feeling like it's the first time. Tell us what you want people to know. Where can people follow your work online and everything you're working on?
I'd say that the best place to follow me online is Twitter. I'm at Todoleo. But you can also read my rants on coolsmartphone.com. Occasional reviews interspersed between the rants as well.
Nice. Excellent stuff. Got a good podcast and all that. We really appreciate you taking time. And I really appreciate that I now have Maka Dial to call my own.
You too now have a tasteful solution to protecting
your phone. I have kept every Maka Dial case that Matteo has ever bestowed upon me because it is like, it is a friendship token.
Yes, it is. Eventually, you can frame them all. Like a nice, exactly. Artful frame.
And then this is... I see you, Matteo. I see what you're doing.
It'll be like a Matteo dedication wall.
Exactly.
Ron, this, you can take this as a threat. You might be next.
Oh, yikes. Wow. All right. I will take that as a threat.
I think of all people, Ron would appreciate it most.
I'm down with the Maka Dial. I've always been on board with the Maka Dial. Yeah. So.
Thank you again, Matteo.
Great. Thank you.
Ron, what's going on?
I don't have enough Maka Dial in my life, and I need to mouthwash after that Oreo. It's still with me, by the way. You can go to Twitter or Instagram and follow me at Ronoxo, where you can see my hilarity ensuing there. Working on some fun stuff that hopefully after the New Year's I can share with everybody. But yeah, that things are pretty quiet on the New York front. Just in getting ready to enjoy the holidays.
That's right. So, things are going to start quieting down over the next couple of weeks. We might have a hard time putting a chunky, show together, but we'll do our best.
I think we'll be all right. I saw the schedule before the show started. I think we're going to have a good end to the year.
Absolutely. Nice. I completely agree. Yep. I'm really looking forward to the rest of this year. Flo, what about you? What you working on?
I am planning CES right now. So while you guys are like, there's not a lot going on, I'm like, hi, emails every day. Hello. I'm also playing with a lot of smart home stuff, which has a tendency to break on me consistently and constantly. I finally did tame the lights.
They look great.
Here.
They look really festive.
Nice holiday lights. I'll be doing more of this stuff into the new year. But of course, if you want to just read my Android ramblings, I am posting here and there at Android Authority these days. So just stay tuned to me on Twitter for the link when those happened.
Absolutely. Stay tuned. Don't touch that dial. Victor, thank you as always. Really appreciate it.
No problem.
There we go. And you can find, my obsession for this month has been the Yellow Gold Kickstarter, yellowgoldmusic.com/Kickstarter, 10 days to go. And I'm confident that I can get it there. I certainly hope so. I've added new music to some of the levels. So if you're interested, and there's going to be a lot of extra music kind of filling in the gaps, so to speak, depending on what tier you participate in, I would certainly appreciate it. And I can't wait to get this music out there. So yellowgoldmusic.com/Kickstarter. And I really appreciate your guys' support up until now and beyond. It really means the world to me. So thank you.
I can't wait. It's in a year of not so good music. I'm waiting for you to save it, Jason.
I hope that I can save it, Ron. There's there's little that is more stressful than running a Kickstarter campaign. I will just say that.
Oh, it's funny because there's another musician that I am quite fond of, this guy by the name of Ted Leo. He did his latest album on Kickstarter earlier this month, and he's been touring and he's putting the record out, and he gave a Kickstarter update that, like, you could hear the frustration in his voice. Oh. Like, he literally, like he opened it up like, listen, people, I'm not Amazon. You know, like, it was just like, oh man. So you gotta count to 10 before you write those Kickstarter updates.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, totally. Yeah. Because I mean, people definitely see those. I mean, you do what you can. No matter what, I mean, the album's gonna get released. I just hope that it'll get released in its best possible presentation, and that's what the Kickstarter is all about. So, if you can jump in there, and even if not, I'm posting a bunch of like free. I'm writing a song a day and putting it out on SoundCloud. There's a device that I showed off on the network called the Spire Studio that's got me really inspired right now. So 30 songs in 30 days. So even if nothing else, you've got that for free. It's just a fun little thing that I'm doing on the side, and I'm really having a kick, a lot of fun doing that. So look for that as well.
But that makes me happy to hear, Jason.
Oh, well,
good.
Best that's all I wanted to say.
With the Kickstarter.
Was that?
Best of luck. I mean,
thank you.
There are very successful examples. I backed Jennifer Page last year with her Kickstarter.
Oh, yes. It's Just Little Crush. Oh,
exactly. Wow. Well recognized.
maybe you could put me in touch with Jennifer Page and she could give me some pointers.
We can do that.
That'd be great. All right. That's it for this week on this episode of All About Android. Thank you guys week after week for tuning in, downloading, whatever, however you get the show. Leave us a voicemail, 347-SHOW-AAA. Send us emails and video mails to AAA@twit.tv. I'm telling you, we got tons of amazing feedback this week. We were only able to pick three for the show, two or three for the show. So I apologize, but you guys are sending in some really great stuff. Find us on Twitter @AndroidShow. Find us on Reddit, twitaaa.reddit.com. I've gotten back in to start moderating the All About Android Google Plus community and kind of cleaning it up, clearing out the spam, tailoring it to just discussion on the show. So if you want to pitch in there, great community over there. Appreciate it. Every app from every episode is listed at twit.to/AndroidApps. We also have all our show notes and past episodes can be found on our page on the web. It's twit.tv/AAA. And you can catch us live every Tuesday, starting somewhere around 5 p.m. Pacific at twit.tv/live. That's it for this week. We'll see y'all next week on another episode of All About Android. Bye, everybody.